بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا فمن بعد. My brothers and sisters, we are living in difficult times. There is no doubt about that. So what must we do and how must we do it? Now many times we hear statements where people say, oh, this is so scary and what is this is so terrifying and so on and so forth. My first request to you and to anyone who speaks in these things is stop using these negative words. Don't say things are scary and whatnot. How can it be scary? Because how can anything be scary? This thing is that you are talking to Muslims, you are talking as a Muslim. Now, as a Muslim, you know and I know that Alhamdulillah, only what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees can happen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no limits to His power, to His glory, to His majesty, to His treasures, to what He can do. There is nothing that is limited by anything as far as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is concerned. So when it's a matter of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as being the one we are addressing, when we are looking at the issues of conditions, worldly conditions, we are talking about conditions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has permitted to happen, or conditions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala permitted or stopped from happening. So what is scary? Because Alhamdulillah, we worship Allah and we ask Allah and we ask Him in keeping with His glory and majesty. So what is there to be scared? So first and foremost, let us stop using this negative language. But what must we do? Because difficulties are there. Those are not imaginary. They are there in front of us and we need to know how to deal with them. Now, there are three steps to take as far as dealing with any difficulty is concerned. The first and foremost one is to face the brutal facts without losing hope. One of the things that people do is to try to sugarcoat the pill. They try to look at the situation through rose-tinted, pink-tinted or rose-tinted glasses. They try to hide the danger of the reality. They try to pretend that it is not really as bad as it looks. These are all negative steps. We need to recognize it for what it is. We need to stop fooling ourselves. We need to say, no, this is happening and this is happening despite whatever I may have done. So therefore, let me first recognize this. At the same time, we do not lose hope because we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His help. We don't blame ourselves or others for what happened because we know that what happened happened by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that yes, we are a part of that. We are not completely free of responsibility. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, زَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِي النَّاسِ لِيُزِيقَهُمْ بَعْدَ الَّذِي عَمِلُوا لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the fitna, fasad, trials, tribulations, difficulties, calamities that have spread on the sea and the land are the result of the actions of men. They are the result of the actions of people which are said, which the actions go up and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's decisions come down. So Allah is saying that I am allowing it to happen so that you get a taste of the punishment that awaits you unless you repent and turn towards Him, Jalla Jalalu. So we recognize the brutal facts and we don't blame others. We don't even blame ourselves. We accept responsibility. There's a difference between the two. But we don't lose hope in eventual success. Number two is try to make meaning of it. Analyze the reasons for what happened. See how you could have prevented it from happening. Try to see, look at it in a historical perspective. Have there been situations like this in the past, either in your own life or in history itself? How did people deal with them? What did they do and not do? All of these things are very helpful in dealing with adversity. So try to make sense. Very important, again, not easy, sometimes very painful when we analyze the reasons for what happened. Believe it or not, the ball is going to come and stop in your court. Whatever happens to us is almost always at least partially a result of what we do. Things don't happen in a limbo. Things don't happen just like that without any, you know, responsibility on our part. They happen because we chose to do something or we chose not to do something. We are free to choose, but no choice is free. We are free to choose, but every choice has a price tag. People don't succeed because they don't realize what the price tag is. And like you in a store, you can walk around the store, you can put things out, take things off the shelves and put them into your shopping cart. But when you come to the till, when you come to the checkout counter, you have to pay for whatever you want to take out of that shop. If you can't pay for it, you have to put it back. You can't take it because that is the reality of life. And the same thing applies to life also. When we make choices, we are automatically trotting up the price of that choice. So we have to look at our current situation, whatever that situation may be. Maybe it's a situation which is collective for a group of people or a country or the whole world. Maybe it's a situation, personal situation in your own life. Might have to do with your marriage, might have to do with raising of children, might have to do with your career. Whatever it is, you must look at it yourself and say, how did this happen? What did I do or not do to make this thing happen? And then also in that context, you see and look to see what could you have done to prevent this from happening. For example, somebody sent me a message the other day saying that I was collaborating with this man who's a professor in so-and-so, such-and-such a university. And I had all this original research in this matter, which I wanted to be published, and I wanted to create some training courses based on that. So I was collaborating with this guy, and I gave him all of this research and so on and so forth. And now suddenly he has disappeared, and he's completely out of touch, and he's not responding to anything, and so on. So I am afraid that I may lose everything that I have, all my research. I may have just given it away, and the man looks like he might steal it. What's your advice? I told him, total up the whole thing and put a price tag on this and say that this is what my original research is actually worth, and write it down in your diary as the fees that you paid to understand reality. It's as simple as that, right? When you are collaborating with somebody, this man who told me all of this was not a Muslim, but as far as Islam is concerned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us very clearly that when you are entering into an agreement, write it down and have two witnesses. Now, if you don't want to do that, if you don't want to document things, if you just want to go and, you know, enter into agreements because of some gut feeling or whatnot, that's up to you. But the chances of those things going wrong are very high. Sadly, the world is not filled with people with high integrity. On the contrary, it's filled with people who are low lives, and they will do what they will do. So therefore, it is very important to analyze facts and to own up your responsibility and say that the reason I am in this mess is because I created this mess. Now, having done that, we don't bash ourselves up on over the head. We say, how could I have prevented it? So here is a situation where it looks like I'm going to lose all my research, but I could have prevented it. So at least I will not do, or I will not make this mistake in the future. And then third point is, now say, what are the action steps that I need to do to get out of the situation? In the example that I gave you of this guy who has shared his research with this other man, well, one clear step is to just walk away from there and say, okay, khalas, this is what I paid for my learning. That's one way. Another way is to say, well, can I find some record of it, and can I do something in order that I can at least take some legal action and try to salvage some of the loss that I have? What is not useful is to just carry that in your heart, in your mind, in your and on your head, and just moan and groan and grumble and all the time feel depressed about it. That doesn't help, because that doesn't get you anywhere. So improvising your way, what to do about this, is looking at what can you do now that this has happened. How can you protect yourself? How can you gather resources? How can you plan for the future? And obviously, very clearly, make sure that this never happens again, because you have closed that loop. It's very important to do that. Otherwise, makes zero sense making the same mistake again and again. So, three things to do. One is face the brutal facts. Don't try to give it a different color. Don't fantasize. The second thing is own up responsibility. See what you did, what you could have done differently, and make notes about that. And the third one is to say, now going forward, what can I do to salvage the situation, to change and correct the situation? These are the three steps. If we do that, inshallah, we can deal with practically any form of difficulty that may arise, because everything falls into the same pattern. And if we work on this in this way, inshallah, we will be successful. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to save us from difficulties, to enable us to live lives which are full of khair and barakah, so that difficulties are averted from us. And should we be tested and should there be a difficulty, then we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us that we face that with equanimity and making ruju' ilallah, that we turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Istighfar is the key to removal of difficulties. So make a lot of istighfar. Make a lot of istighfar. Fastaghfiru rabbakum innahu kana ghaffara. Nuh alayhi salam said to his people, apologize to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make istighfar, and Allah is the one who is most forgiving. We ask Allah for his forgiveness. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika wa rahmatullahi.